Good evening. You are listening to WRFU LP Abana 104.5 FM. It is now time for the Harukana Show. Harukana Show comes to you every Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. The host of the show is Mugiko from Kyoto and Ryuta from Shizuoka, Japan. We will speak in Japanese as we connect the US and Japan through radio and streaming. We hope through our show you will discover various aspects of society and culture in the daily lives. You can also enjoy the Japanese music and sound we bring you. こんばんは、おはようございます。こんにちは。はるかなショーの時間です。はるかなショーはアメリカ・イリノイ州のアーバナ市にあるコミュニティラジオ局 WRFU からお届けしていますが、今週もはるかなショー、オンラインで事前収録をしてお届けします。スタジオが使えないので。ただいま、今、日本時間では5月14日木曜日で、麦子は、京都から出演しています。今週はなんと最高気温がもう30度近くまで上がって、結構熱中症にご注意です。アーバンナシャンペーンはいかがでしょうか。で、今日、5月14日木曜日、安倍首相が非常事態宣言を39件については解除するという、そういった表明をしております。日々いろんな情報が変わっていっています。で、はるかなショーでは今日は久しぶりにトムさんを呼んでみたいと思います。トムさん、ステアートホームオーダーでどうしてますかということを聞いてみたいんですが、どうも散髪に行ってないみたいで、頭が結構天然パーマがなんかダンシングしてる感じでいい感じ、みたいですけども、お仕事どうですかといろんなコミュニティメディアでパブリック TV やラジオや番組持ってますか、続けてますかとか、そして CU イミグレーションフォーラム、シャンペーンカウンティーを中心に移民問題についていろんな組織や個人が情報交換をして、こういろいろ協力して対応していこうといった活動の代表をしてますが、そんな話も聞いてみたいと思います。特にシャンペーンカウンティーの中のラントゥールというところの豚肉加工工場で集団感染出てますよね。そういった問題とかもちょっと移民のに関する問題とも関連してるんじゃないかなと思うので聞いてみたいと思います。では呼んでみたいと思います。トームさん、トームさん、あれ、
はい、すみません。
How are you?
大丈夫。 I still go to work though. I just we are closed to the public, but I go to work and work on the buildingwork in the building and work on the building. So, my days are similar to what they were before. It's just I've not seen as many people. We have not decided when to open because there's still orders from the state to be closed. So we will be closed for as long as they want us to be closed, but we may want to be closed ourselves. We don't know. It depends on howsafe we're feeling and how far along, because we're in currently remodeling the space, and so we're moving things around and creating a better layout, but it's a big messy job and very dirty, and it would be hard to do with customers. So if the governor said, oh, tomorrow you can open up, we might say, no, we're going to wait a little longer and try and finish what we're doing.
Oh, so you're preparing for reopen at that time that your warehouse so changes much better than before, like, yeah.
I'm busier than I used to be. Actually, well, I do several radio shows, and those shows are all being done from home now, which means that instead of just going into the studio, recording, and then going home,I have to record it and then edit it and then turn it into a file that I can send and then send it to the person to upload it. So it's everything takes longer now. I mean, there's more work involved.
And how about the UC Immigration Forum? How do you have a meeting?
We're meeting now remotely on Zoom, as most people are using. We're still having trouble getting...some of the more elderly members to figure out how to connect. Had a meeting yesterday, and it took about 10-15 minutes to get the thing up and going because the person who was trying to set it up kept sending the wrong information for how to connect. So everyone would try to connect and it wouldn't work. And then they had to start over again. So I don't know why, but it took a long time just to get connected. And some people never managed to do it. So it was a bit of a mess, but we finally got it together.
No, and the COVID-19 pandemic, what kind of issue do you have as the immigrant?
Well, the issues are, they run parallel now. There is still the political issues with the administration and their antipathy towards immigrants and their activities that target immigrants in negative ways, to send people away. Just as an example of that, how the two cross over, young persons, unaccompanied minors who are coming here by themselves and are not with their families when they come here, are taken in and put into detention. And so some of them were being released. Many of them actually were being released to host families here, like relatives were identified or foster parents or something. You know, they were taken into custody and then slowly released to various places. But the administration is using the virus situation to say, oh, we can't release them to families here. We need to keep them in custody. And so what they're doing instead is keeping them in custody and then deporting them back to their original country. So they're using the virus as an excuse to just deport them rather than follow the usual path of, you know, releasing them to host families here and then giving them court dates to settle whether they can be admitted or not. So that is one example of something that, you know, we're fighting the government on that kind of thing. But also because of the virus, there is another new whole set of problems in that immigrants are denied any help from the government in, you know, financial help, assistance, unemployment assistance, all the different things that a lot of people, a huge number of people in the country are relying on right now to get them through this period of shutdown are not available to immigrants. So they are suffering disproportionately based on, you know, their loss of income and that kind of thing. So we spent most of our meetings setting up we had representatives of several other groups, and we spent most of the meetings setting up a mutual fund where all the different groups are going to put money into this fund, and then we would establish a little control group who would then give that money to people who are in need to make it available so that no one group is bearing the financial burden. Our group, for example, the Immigration Forum, is an advocacy group. So we don't generally do direct service to individuals. You know, someone says, I need my house burned down, I need a new house. We don't, that's not the kind of thing that we do as a rule. We direct them to other groups that help you find a new house or help you find furniture or clothing or whatever. But in this instance, because we have money, we want to contribute to the effort to help people directly. And so this shared fund will be very useful in that regard.
So this immigrant means from as a country, for temporary to stay, it means to work around here. But under the COVID-19 pandemic and stay-at-home order, they lost their work.
Yes.
Their job. And so it is a very severe situation. And so that's...
And a lot of them who didn't lose jobs are forced to work. They do disproportionately do the kind of service work that are still people are still relying on, like delivery people, like cooks in restaurants, grocery store workers, people who do that kind of what are often described as low-skilled jobs. A lot of immigrants do those jobs, housekeeping, yard work, things like that. And because they are, in many instances, considered necessary workers, they continue to work despite having no help from the government in terms of, like, insurance if they get sick, you know, that sort of thing. And a lot of immigrants are very worried, at least those who are without documents are very worried about seeking medical help because they're afraid that by contacting the system in that way, they will be in jeopardy of being deported. So it's a very difficult situation for a lot of people right now, even those who are here with green cards and work permits and that sort of thing.
I read an article that the Lantour pork plant and the more positive, much more people, the positive, and but some workers, they speak not English, some people Spanish, like that. So how do they communicate with local people or local government? And,
a lot of them don't. A lot of them do not. You know, I have at various times when we were doing more direct service work, I've given people rides to like to the bank to deposit their money or to cash a check or things like that. And I've gone with people that did not speak any English, and I didn't speak any of their language. I mean, and we just basically communicated by someone set this up and said, okay, this family needs to go here to do this, and then back home. And then we just communicated by sign language in order to make it happen. So they generally have smallish communities of fellow language-speaking folks that they work with or that they live with. And usually at least one or two of those people in that group will speak some other language, and therefore they act as interpreters for everyone else. And often it's the children will interpret for their parents, because children are very, you know, they soak up things very quickly. So the children are often bilingual, and parents are often not. And so they just drag their little kids around to interpret for them. And most children of immigrants that I've known over the years, that is a common story that they have, is that that was their job, was to interpret for their parents and to read like anything that came in the mail that looked official. Their job was to read it and explain, you know, what is this thing? What does it say? So they have their ways. I mean, they get along and they get by. It's just in unusual situations like we're living in now, it could be more difficult because the people that act as the interface between the immigrant, their little immigrant communities and everyone else are equally unsure about what's going on. So they can't really necessarily help, or they don't know where to look or who to talk to for guidance. So that's when it gets complicated. Day-to-day stuff, they've already figured out how to go to the gas station, how to get their car fixed, what happens if, you know, you need to go to the doctor for some reason. You know, they figured out those ordinary aspects of life. But in emergency situations, it'll take a bit longer for them to get that information because it has to go through various steps before it gets to them.
It means it is not easy to contact with them directly now. And
It's always
not
difficult.
Easy to communicate because usual time also difficult, but now that we cannot speak directly. And it means you can use the Zoom, but not to go to there sometimes.
Yeah. That makes it that much harder. So there are any number of difficulties that each one creates its own set of, subset of difficulties going on and on and on, that when something unusual happens, all of a sudden these things crop up and they become very difficult.
And also, so you say they have the close community, smaller one, that's not easy to keep social distance among them.
Yes, a lot of the immigrants, particularly who work at these meat plants, these meat processing plants like this. I mean, it's not just in Rantoul. It's all over the country, these processing plants for meat in particular are proving to be very bad places because of the way they work. The air is cooler in there. They keep it cold to keep the meat fresh, and the virus likes that. It does well in that kind of air, and they have to talk over the machines that are making noise, and so they have to speak loudly. It's hard to wear a mask. They're working side by side, so there's any number of things that are going on in the plant that make it ideal for spreading things like this. And then a lot of these people who work these really low wage jobs don't have the luxury of living alone, so they'll live together. And particularly in these immigrant groups where somebody comes to a place and gets a job and says, "Hey, cousin, you come here too, and you can stay with me." And so a lot of people will live in a small place. They'll share a room in order to save money because they don't make much money. And so, the living conditions are bad for social distancing, and the working conditions are bad for it as well. And a lot of them, new immigrants, they don't have all the things that, people who've lived in the country all their life have. So you don't come here and you suddenly have a car and a house and, your own set of clothes and furniture and all these things. You come here with just a little bit of luggage and that's it. So they'll share. Ride sharing is very popular amongst immigrants. They will all go to work together if they work in the same place. You'll have four or five people in a car going to the factory together. So they're living together in small groups, they're traveling together in groups, and they're working together in groups. And all those things are pretty much, exactly what you don't want to be doing right now when there's a pandemic. A lot of what we do is we just talk about what's going on, what are the problems, what are people seeing, and then we try to think of what we can do to help alleviate those things. Some of them are so big that there's nothing that a small little group from Champaign is going to be able to do. Like, we can't change anything the federal government is doing, but we can maybe change what people here locally are doing about that, or how they're reacting to it, or how they are interpreting it, or something. So, for example, at our last meeting, one of the things we came up with was that we should make an effort to tell some of the stories of the immigrant workers at these plants where they're having these problems, so that the community gets to hear that side of the story rather than the local news will call up the pork plant and say, "Oh, I heard you had an outbreak. What's going on?" And they'll say, "Oh, we're doing everything possible to keep everybody safe. We're following all the rules. And, it's not our fault." Basically, that's the only message that gets out because of the language barrier, because the reporters don't know who to call, on and on and on. So we discussed ways that we could act as interpreters and basically find out from the employees' point of view how things are going, what's happening there, what is being done about it, and get that story out so that there is at least some balance to what people are hearing and reading about it.
Yeah, arigato gozaimasu. Just watch the statistics data, look at the statistics data about the COVID-19. But from the data, we couldn't see what you said. What is going on from the different perspective of the people, the employees, the worker, even down to the residents, local residents. So such kind of talk you are now discussing. And, ありがとうございます。That's very, very important.